Welcome to the Body Grievers Club. Hi, my friends. I'm Bree.
And I'm Jana.
And we want to sit in the grief and the suck of your body image with you.
But we also want to show you that even in the suck, you can still live a great life in the body that you have right now.
And that no matter how big and how difficult your body grief feels,
you are not alone.
Hey, Jana.
Bree, how you doing?
Good. Tell everybody where we are recording this intro from.
Recording this intro from Santa Cruz, California, sitting outside. I've driven 3 hours out here to take my family to the beach for the day. And we were like, we are going to record this intro.
I'm so excited for this episode to come out.
It is. We were both pretty passionate on this episode.
So what would you say if a body griever is listening and they are, wow, Jana is at the beach with her family. That is just a dream for me because they are stuck in that diet culture mentality of, you know, I don't have the quote unquote beach body, or, you know, my body can't walk on the beach like it once used to. What would you say to that body griever?
Oh, I would say I feel you. And I remember the days when I stopped myself from doing things because of those reasons. I really think that as we shift out of that cult mentality that we're going to talk about in the episode, you kind of just start to see life differently and say like, hey, I deserve this too. I deserve to do the things that I want to, even if I have to modify them or get some help or do different things, I still get to do it.
Yeah. I love that. I'll do that too, is I will weigh the cost and the benefit. What is it going to cost me to do this thing that I want to do? And is it worth it? So for example, we, at the time of this recording, are about 2 months away from going to Costa Rica with our body grievers. And one of the things I've had to say to folks is, yeah, it is going to suck to have to fly in an airplane and to not know if there's going to be accommodation. And the best part is that we will get to still experience Costa Rica and community and friendship and all of these amazing things that we would have otherwise missed out on. And so I think diet culture has taken so much from us. We don't need to let it take any more from us.
Absolutely. I love that you pointed out that it's not without hurdles or anxieties even maybe, but it doesn't have to mean we're not worthy of it.
Say more things about that.
Well, just that, like, I mean, when I'm going to do something that I'm not sure how it's all going to work out that involves my body, I'm going to have a little bit of anxiousness. I'm going to have a little bit of nervousness sometimes. But when I anchor back into, I'm just as worthy as anybody else's body of doing these things that I love and want to do, then that's when I figure it out. Like, it's figure outable.
Ooh, right. What we say in the Body Groovers course, is it cope with the ball?
Cope with the ball. Yep.
I don't know if you got a chance to see, I made a very spicy post today.
Tell us about it.
So I want to make it unequivocally clear that this community is an inclusive community, which means that the folks who are the most marginalized are the people who we aim to protect. That is the people who are struggling with mobility, the people who are in the larger plus sizes, are queer and trans friends and folks. And I've been seeing a lot of garbage on the internet of folks with a lot of privilege who don't want to be held accountable and have no humility towards those most marginalized folks. It is my job to make sure that we are the most trauma-informed community. Like, I want this to actually be a safe and accountable space. The Body Grievers Club is a place where we believe that trans rights are human rights. We believe that Black Lives Matter and that LGBTQ rights are human rights. Like, we are here for all people. And if that is not your jam, maybe there's another podcast for you. But you're free to consume our content as you wish. But I just wanted to, you know, ally myself to our most marginalized communities. And there's this quote I put on the bottom of my post. It says, when you are accustomed to privilege, equality feels like oppression. And so when folks say that our community is like a cult because you can't have differing thoughts, I would ask you to turn to the left and to turn to the right of you and ask, is there anybody else who doesn't look like me saying this as well?
Yeah, that's a good one.
This is a great deep dive episode, deprogramming from diet culture. We are so excited for you to listen to this episode. And yeah, we're glad you're here.
Yeah, so glad you're here. Good stuff on this one. We hope you get a lot out of it.
So we know that community in this space can feel really hard and feel really confusing of where do we get information from? Who is somebody that we can trust that they have done the work, that they have seen the results? If you are somebody who is a body griever and you are sick and tired of getting clobbered by diet culture and weight loss messages, and you feel so alone in your exploration of your body image, and if you're a provider and you struggle to know how to support your clients when they are sitting in the suck of their body creep, then I want to remind you that the doors for my program, the Body Image Vault, opens tomorrow, August 10th, which also happens to be my 5th Instagram anniversary. I can't believe that it has been that long, but 5 years ago, I decided to make an Instagram page and I named it Body Image with Bree, and Body Image with Bree became a business. And over the last few years, not all five, but I have served well over 100 body griever and body image providers. And I've never had an offer that is for both of them until now. And so let me tell you a little bit about the Body Image Vault. It will contain 10 of my most juicy, jam-packed masterclasses designed to help you shift your understanding from the crux and the depths of body grief into something that resembles body acceptance. And if you are a neurospicy person like myself and you're like, okay, Brie, I will never watch a self-study, I've already thought of it. And that is why we are also giving the founders round of the vault access to an ongoing live community support through a Facebook group for you to submit and ask questions to, for you to have opportunities for virtual replays or live watch parties of the masterclasses, for opportunities to be a part of Q&A groups. We want to meet every person who wants to be in community with other like-minded people to have that opportunity. And so we are so excited for the doors to open. And the program is going to be on sale for a limited time. So if you have any questions about the program, please send us an email. Let us know. We will include a question box or a type form in the show notes. And yeah, we hope that you join us inside the vault.
And without further ado, let's get into the episode.
Hello, body grievers. How are you? Well, I am so excited to talk about cult mentality. Jana, why don't you start us off and then I'll share some of my thoughts.
Absolutely. Because I know this is like your jam. The diet culture is like cult mentality, and like actually like unwinding those strings.
It's not just the leaving of it. It's getting the thinking out of your head, right? Like that's actually the hardest part that they say
of leaving a cult is like the unprogramming.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's the tricky part. Stepping away is hard, and the stepping away from the community, right? Because a lot of times diets and bashing our bodies is how we bond as people.
I feel like this is something I hear a lot with folks, is like they feel like they are missing out on the communities that they once had. That, like, you know, if you had like a Weight Watchers mom, right? Like, you knew your mom went to meetings, and you know there was a community in and of that. And when, with those of us who are leaving diet culture, it kind of feels like, I had my friend Ashley Benson, who's the body image therapist. She uses this analogy all the time. She'll say, it's like you're standing on two ships, and one ship is the Titanic. Like, we know what's going to happen. We know it's going down. And then the other ship is the opposite of diet culture. And it's so unfamiliar and it's so new. It can feel overwhelming.
Like, you can't get your footing.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I asked our audience why they feel like diet culture is a cult. And here are some of the things that people said. One person said, you are shamed if you choose something else. That is 100% accurate in a cult. Another person said, they brainwash you and gaslight you.
Gaslighting, for sure.
So let's talk about gaslighting. I think oftentimes we'll hear these words and these terminologies used. I feel like the terminology gaslighting has come around a lot more recently. And so gaslighting is this idea of, not only am I going to make you second guess yourself, I'm going to make you feel less than for thinking that. So, for example, a gaslighting scenario might be, if I were to say, Jen, I really like your blue sweater. And you were to say, I'm not wearing a blue sweater. And I would be like, not just, you're definitely wearing a blue sweater. I would be like, you're stupid because you don't think you're wearing a blue, like, you don't think that. And so diet culture does this really well. Diet culture does a really good job at isolating us and making us feel like we will be othered if we don't.
Oh, so you don't care about your health is one that I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do diet culture anymore. You don't care about your health, right?
Exactly. That is exactly the gaslighting that we see. And then somebody else had said, another way that diet culture is like a cult is that there is often a ringleader who is controlling it. Mm-hmm. And so if we were to think about, like, who is the ringleader of diet culture?
I mean, that is a huge, big question, but definitely the beauty industry would definitely come into play here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. In 2020, during the pandemic, the beauty industry made $500 billion. Like, when the world was in a pandemic, the industry was not suffering. And so what does that tell us? That tells us that somebody is profiting. And, like, that was kind of the joke. I used that meme from The Office where Creed, if you're not an Office follower, this is something you'll learn about me and Jana. One, I have ADHD, so I will lose track of points and time. And two, I watch a lot of TV, so I will reference television a lot. And so today's clip I had taken from The Office, and Creed says, I've shared some time in cults. You have more fun as a follower, but you make more money as a leader. And it's a joke, but he's so right that when we look at these titans of industry, when we look at, I don't want to get sued or defamed by anybody, but, like, if you think of anybody who's in the fitness world, who's been in the fitness world for a long time, who promotes dieting and weight loss and all of that, they've built their brand on this. Their livelihood depends on this. Somebody gains through this perspective, through this mentality.
Absolutely.
Jenna, when you're working with clients on body image and you're working on body compassion, where do you find that your clients get the most stuck when it comes to trying to figure out this body image stuff?
I mean, there's several areas where we can kind of hit some snags, but kind of like, even like, a lot of times I hear them say, actually, one of my parents, like, I can't do that. One of my parents keeps criticizing me. I mean, one of my parents says I can't keep doing this, or someone that they love that's close to them usually is like, they're like, stay in the cold, stick. But like them leaving is like, you can't leave because you're not safe, because they're believing into these things that we've been told.
Yeah. Oh, that's so accurate. So we actually talk about this in the Body Groovers group of like, when you have loved ones that still want you to stay in diet culture, because it says something about them, right? Of like, I don't want my kid to be unhealthy. I don't want my kid to be sick. I don't want my kid to have to struggle later on. But it's truly about their perspective. And so one of the things that we teach our body grievers is that in order to leave that cult mentality, in order to deprogram, you have to begin to understand what beliefs you actually have. Do we believe that somebody who's in a larger body doesn't care about their health? Or is that a thought that just kind of makes its way through? Are we a type of person who believes that movement has to be formal, that it has to be an intentional set amount every day, otherwise it doesn't count? That those belief systems have lasted us through time, and they don't serve us. And it's how we can still find our way stuck. I was just saying to one of my provider clients that there are still times I have to check myself when I eat fast food, because I can feel that diet culture thought just kind of sink back in and start feeling like I'm doing something bad.
You're not supposed to do this.
And this is why I think people stay stuck in the cult mentality. I wanted to read something. I'm a big TV nerd. I asked my brother, what do you think is wrong with me that I love watching crime shows? He said there's some statistical thing that like specifically women like watching crime shows because they like to see conclusion and they like to see the end. And I'm like, that's interesting. And so I watched this whole cult show.
I took notes while I was watching this TV show.
I remember you did call me and you're like, I got all these notes.
So one of my questions that I was asking myself as I'm watching this, I'm like, how does somebody become manipulated by cult mentality? Because how many times do you see like people say like, I could never get caught up in a cult? Here's the three things that they said motivate a person to get involved in a cult. One, they experience great grief. Two, they're experiencing fear. Or three, a physiological need for belonging and knowledge is not being met. So let's break those down. So great grief. We found a lot of the people who were joining these cults had just experienced a significant loss in their life, whether it be a loss from a job, whether it be a loss of a loved one. They'd experienced great levels of grief. Another sect of people who joined cults were experiencing fear. There was an immense amount of fear that they were struggling with in their life of, I'm not going to be able to pay my bills, or I am successful in my business, but I don't feel loved or known. I'm not going to have my needs met. There was another like sect of people within that where it was like people with illness, people who have something to gain and something that they feel like they've already lost. So there, for this specific cult, there was a large following of people who struggled with Tourette's. It's bullshit, but they found that this program healed these people with Tourette's. And it's like, no, it didn't actually heal the Tourette's. The psychology, the clinical skill set that the cult used is what helped heal the Tourette's. But they've now made this association of, I used to struggle with Tourette's and now I don't. And it's all thanks to this cult, which they don't call a cult. And then finally, the physiological need for knowledge and belonging. One of the things I found in this documentary was that every single person who joined this cult
was looking for something. They were looking for purpose and meaning beyond their life. I get so angry when I hear people say, like, oh, I could never get caught into a cult.
And are you like, how many cults are you already in that you don't realize you're in?
Right, right. And when you look at cult behavior, everything that our friends who shared earlier were right. If you try to leave the cult, you are shamed for that. If you try to do something divergent, you become excommunicated from the cult. The cult has taught you everything you already know. And now you're trying to think differently. And so one of the things that the documentary did so well, they said there are three reasons why the psychological manipulation can impact a person. And they said it's easy to tear someone down when then you provide them an answer. The psychological manipulation is not just, I'm going to give you the answer. It's first, I'm going to make you vulnerable and
feel like
it's really time that you start worrying about your health. We have the solution. So that's the psychological manipulation. It's easy to defraud someone when you're searching for hope. That's the reason two. And reason three, it's easier to exploit something that you care about.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain that one? It's easier to exploit someone that you care about, you said?
It's something you care about.
Something you care about.
And so if we made diet culture about just looking good, many of us could be like, well, that's not, like, looks don't really, like, yes, they matter, but they shouldn't matter. And we don't want them to matter. When you're exploiting health, wellness, when you're telling people, like, I don't know if you've seen this. Are you on TikTok at all?
No, I'm not on TikTok. I waste enough time on other things.
I've seen a lot of fake transformation stories, especially on TikTok.
Yeah.
Like a person will have their body size will change and it's like, and I'm having better sex and my life is fuller. And it's actually not even true. It's just a photo that's been, like they took like my photo and somebody else's photo who doesn't look like me. And they're like, look at this transformation. And it's like, it's not real. But it's exploiting the, hey, if you've been afraid that no one's ever going to love you, then you need this.
Well, and even that grief, like that is the place where the grief is, right? So you're not getting what you need or want.
Yeah. Yeah. And so here's where I want to leave folks. If you are like, oh, wow, I'm really still stuck in diet culture. They gave this prompt at the end of this documentary, and I found it so helpful. And it was a journal prompt. And you can write for each of these different identities. Who was I before I joined the cult? Who was I during the cult? And who am I now? Who is Jana? Who is Bree? Pre-cult, during cult, post-cult. Who is Bree and Jana before their dieting days? Who is Bree and Jana while they were dieting? And who are they now? And I think that the Body Groovers Club is just an amazing testimony of, I used to be the person that hated my body constantly because I felt like not having the ideal body was going to keep me from living my life. And while I still grieve my body, while there is still loss that I can experience, I also have experienced so much fullness and joy in my life that I never thought I would experience before.
Well, I don't know about you, Bree, but like since I've done this and left the cold as best as I can, like you said, there's still sometimes those little threads, right? But I feel so much more joy in my experiences than like ever before. I feel my grief fully too.
Mm-hmm. Because I think you can. You know, so like this morning I woke up and our sump pump had clogged. So the floor was just soaking wet. And I was just like, that's the kind of day we're going to have. This is the kind of day that it is. And like, I was also like, wow. And I'm still so grateful
that like I have a house and I have a dad who can help me with the sump pump. And that was not fake. My gratitude wasn't just like, I'm going to silver line it, but that when I've allowed myself to grieve the sadness, gratitude is a natural response to life. Like, there are going to be sump pump days where the sump pump doesn't work. That's just the way it is.
Life.
Yeah. And where diet culture lies to you in that you're going to struggle with this forever, but you need them. Where the Body Rivers Club comes in is, we just want you to know you're not alone. We just want you to feel like, yeah, this sucks, and I got my body grief coaches in my back pocket.
We have another comment. There's not only the cult. There's another option. I like this one comment, Bree, that says, somebody said, I think for me that who we were before, it was maybe before 7 years old, I don't even remember who I was. Like, we don't even remember joining it. Like, we got dumped into it, but like, I don't know about you, but I don't remember like, oh, this is when I bought into this really. I mean, I guess if I go back in my history, I can think about maybe some around the time when I had my first, like, I got to do something about this body problem stuff. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, like, we just learned it little by little from other people, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. And so Jen, if you were going to leave our listeners with anything in how to begin to unsubscribe from diet culture, and what would you recommend somebody do to begin to do that?
That's interesting, because it can be really messy, right? This can be a messy process of kind of untangling that programming.
Yeah.
Right. But I think the one thing is, did I choose into this thought, or was it there before I even had a choice? Like, did I choose into this? Like, when did I choose into this? And if you don't really know that we chose into it, I think that's a really big symptom that it's that cult kind of thinking that someone else gave.
Yeah, that's that building awareness piece that we talk about, of we can't change what we don't know. We can't change a thought unless we acknowledge that it exists. So I would agree with that starting point. The other thing I would encourage folks to do, other than figure out the identity of who am I now, of who do I want to be? If my life is not contingent based off of how I look or how much I weigh, right? Who is it that I want to be? And I feel like I remember writing a journal entry of what I imagined myself to be like. And it was to be somebody who was unapologetic, took up space, who was confident in who they are, and they weren't faking it. And it's a little woo, right? But it's imagining who you are in your mind's eye.
I really like, there's one more comment in here that I think could use a little bit of attention here. Someone says, how do you respond to people who think haze and fat acceptance is a cult? These people make me so angry.
This is a great question. And I would say one of the things that you will find in this exploration of, you know, body grief and coming into our own is that not everyone is going to accept us. That feels like a cult slogan. Here's the difference between a cult and Health at Every Size. Health at Every Size is a paradigm. It's like a framework. It's a thought. It's nothing that you give money to. Mm-hmm. And second, the difference between a cult and Health at Every Size is a cult is typically based in shame. Mm-hmm. It's based in something is wrong with you and we have the solution to fix it. Mm-hmm. Whereas Health at Every Size is literally the opposite. It is a paradigm based on the premise that you have rights just to exist in the body you do without any clarification, without any justification. You are worthy. And so, you know, I think one of the things that people make or they take umbrage with, especially in the Health at Every Size space, is they don't like the permission for people to be fat. And so when somebody says, oh, I just feel like the fat acceptance movement or the Health at Every Size movement is a cult, I would say personally, if depending on my level of spiciness, I might say only people with privilege don't need a space to feel seen because they are the majority. For those of us who live in larger bodies, for those of us recovering in the larger bodies, our body isn't the mainstream. Our body is pathologized. So to be able to find a place that says, you are welcome. Literally, there's no weight limit. There's no height limit. There's no acceptance limit, that you are just allowed to be a human being. One that should be an innate right. And if that is a club or a cult, I'd like to be a part of it.
Well, so it's interesting because when I thought of that same question with the health at every size versus, you know, the diet culture, you know, that we've been talking about, is in health at every size, there's actually room for everyone.
Yeah.
There's room for everyone, health at every single size, right? But when we think about diet culture, and this is where the cult mentality comes in, is it's like, you can be here if you are like this. There's a rule.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Where it's called, there's no rules. There's no rules on how you have to live your life specifically or how I have to. So if I was going to respond to somebody, particularly, you know, a loved one, a family, friends, or whatever, and it's hard. I'm not going to say this is an easy thing, but for me personally, and everybody might be different, and you're right, spiciness level will definitely come into play per what day it is, right? Where I'm at in my life. But I would say something more like, you know what? I just realized that that kind of thinking was really unhealthy for me, and it doesn't work for me right now. If you need to be there, that's totally fine, but it's not a place that I can be anymore.
Yeah, I really like that. I always used to tell my clients as a therapist, I would tell my clients, they can't argue with your lived experience. They might try to, but like, if you were to say, I've spent my entire life hating my body, I don't have it in me anymore. Most people can relate to that. Most people will be like, yeah, I totally get that. When they counter on the, but I also care about health. You have to just remember that like everybody's in process and in their own place. And you don't have to educate every single person that comes into your world. You do not have to justify your body size based on your health. Like, even if you don't have quote unquote good health, you are still worthy and deserving of respect and human decency. And that's usually what I'll say is I don't need health to deserve quality care and respect and human decency. Most people will agree with that, at least to my face.
Well, and it's not shown that health is on a continuum. It's you're healthy or you're not. And that's black and white, again, cult thinking right there. That doesn't show that health is on any kind of continuum. Like, who decides who's healthy and who's not healthy?
It's actually probably, we could probably do another episode on this.
I was just going to say, I think we could go like 3 or 4 more episodes just on this topic.
So we'll have to come back to the topic of health because that is a big one. So definitely, you know, pop back in later in the season. We'll definitely talk more about cult mentalities. Any final thoughts for those that are feeling stuck with being in the cult? Any words of wisdom for them?
I would kind of be like, there's another world out here.
I had a client once that described it. She was like, I feel like an alien from another planet. And she's like, I'm the invader. Like, I'm clearly the one that's not from here. But like, then I found my other Martian friends. And I was like, oh,
sure.
I love that analogy. Yeah. If you are a person who is sitting in the suck of your body image, if you are trying to maneuver through how to get on that ship and let go of diet culture, just know that it's a dig, right? This is what we say here at Body Image is Free. Body Image is an archaeological dig because we have no point of arrival. It's just information. We're going to keep gathering this information and we're going to move forward from it. All right. Till next time.
Friend, thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the Body Grievers Club. Like all of your other podcasting friends, we would ask that you like, share, subscribe, and give this episode to someone who you think needs to hear it.
We know that grief is tough, but we hope that this podcast helps you feel less alone. To learn more about body grief, check out our Instagram page at the Body Grievers Club.
And to learn how you can work with us today, be sure to check out the link in our show notes for the most up-to-date information. At the time of this recording, it is summer of 2023. We are preparing to launch our brand new program called the Body Image Vault. This program is going to contain jam-packed resources designed to help you expedite your understanding from how to move from body grief into body acceptance. So be sure to get on the wait list to get all of the details.
And remember, friends, no matter how big your body grief is, you're never alone when you're part of the Body Griefers Club.